Hi everyone, welcome to our next sermon in this series based in the Gospel of John. We're going to start by reading our passage for today. It's John chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 1 down to verse 12. So it's John chapter 2, from verse 1 down to verse 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. Well, let's pray as we begin thinking about this passage together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Gospel of John. We thank you that we have these words which speak about who your Son Jesus is. Help us, Lord, as we study them together, that you would work in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to know how to respond as we read these words, as we discover truth about Jesus. Help us to know how to respond. Lord, be working in our minds and our hearts and in our lives today as we hear your words, and I pray, Lord, for your help. Please, by your Spirit, be working. In Jesus' name, amen. Signs are vitally important. As we go through life, you'll see signs all around you. Maybe if you've just done your theory test for driving, or if you can cast your mind back that far, remember you had to remember all sorts of road signs in your test. Signs like these. Some signs are helpful. Some are very clear. They help us as we drive to know what's coming ahead. Some signs are much less clear and much less helpful, like some of these. So the sign that we want to think about today, it's not a road sign, but it's something that Jesus did that the Gospel of John calls a sign. And in fact, it's the first sign recorded in John's Gospel. And this sign takes place at a wedding. You know, there's nothing quite like a wedding. It's a time of great joy and celebration, happiness, good food and drinks, celebrating the commitment that two people are making to each other for the rest of their lives, before God making those promises. It's a great occasion, but if you've ever planned a wedding or been part of the planning, I'm sure you know that a lot can go wrong. I was a groomsman at a wedding before. All the guys were at the venue, ready for the ceremony. We were suited up, ready to go. An important job had been given to the groomsman that morning, that they were to bring the order of services to the ceremony. Did they arrive? No. The order of services had been forgotten. It was too late to go back and get them, and we realized only very shortly before the ceremony, and we faced the possibility that no one would have any of the words for the songs that were going to be sung. This was going to be pretty embarrassing. But not only would this have been embarrassing for the groomsmen who had forgotten the order of services, or maybe it was a group of groomsmen, but very embarrassing for the bride and groom themselves. All their guests who'd come, all the work that they put in, to sit awkwardly while the music was playing and the singers at the front were singing, but they couldn't join in. Well, at this wedding, with the help of a hotel computer and Google, we managed to put together a makeshift song sheet. We found the songs we were singing, and we managed to print them in time so that we could sing and have song sheets for everyone. The embarrassment was avoided. Well, maybe you know stories from weddings of embarrassing moments or unfortunate mishaps. Well, the wedding we've read about today nearly had a major faux pas. A major embarrassment was averted. Look at John 2 and verse 3. It says, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. The wine ran dry. You know, it was common in first century Jewish weddings for wedding celebrations to continue over the course of a week, not just for a few hours like we do today. So don't worry, they didn't finish off all the wine in one sitting. The celebration would go on for days. And we see in this story that Jesus and his mother and his disciples had been invited to this wedding in Cana. And this disaster strikes. The wine runs out. This is a major embarrassment for the bridegroom. And one writer even suggested that lawsuits were not unknown in these circumstances. This was a serious oversight. Something had gone terribly wrong, that there wasn't enough wine to be provided for the guests at this wedding. So Jesus' mother goes to Jesus with this problem. And let's read what Jesus does next. We'll pick it up in verse 4. He says, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Jesus performs this incredible miracle where water is turned into wine. And as his mother comes to him, he says this phrase, my hour has not yet come. Well, this hour that Jesus was looking ahead to was the hour of his ultimate glorification, his death and resurrection and his exaltation. This was the timetable that Jesus was working to, and as her eldest son, Mary for years would have relied on Jesus for help in times of need. And it's like here that Jesus is expressing to his mother that his focus and his timetable now is on his Father's work, his Heavenly Father's work. Not perhaps immediately with the family helps that he might be able to give, but his focus is now on the cross and the work that he needs to do. His hour had not yet come. But yet he does agree to help. It seems as if this wasn't a rebuttal, but his mother takes it that what Jesus is going to be willing to help. And an incredible miracle takes place. A miracle of huge proportions. We read about how big these jars were, holding 20 to 30 gallons. Or we're talking in the region of 450 to nearly 700 litres of wine. That could be as many as 900 bottles as we have them today. That is a lot of wine. And not only was there plenty of it, it was better than the best that the wedding already had to offer. We saw that in verse 10, the master of the banquet tasted the wine and it was better than the best that they had already provided. Jesus provided abundant wine and wine that was the best quality. But why did he do this, and what did it mean? Well, maybe some at the wedding realized, or maybe not, when they saw these vast amount of wine being produced. But abundant amounts of wine was actually a sign prophesied of the time when the Messiah, that's God's chosen king, would come. Abundant wine, even flowing from the hills. Listen to these verses in Joel and Amos, talking about this time when the Messiah would come. It says, in that day the mountains will drip new wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines of Judah will run with water. That's in Joel chapter 3. In Amos chapter 9, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the ploughman, and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. This abundance of wine was a sign of the age that was going to come when God's chosen king was going to appear. Wine even flowing down the mountains. Well, Jesus certainly produced a lot of wine in this case. But this miracle wasn't just a display of his power. It didn't show that he had control, just that he had control over the elements. It was a sign. It was pointing to something. It was telling us something more than just water being transformed into wine. It was a sign that the Messiah had now arrived. He was here. The huge volume of wine that had been miraculously transformed pointed to the fact that Messiah was here. He had finally arrived, and it was Jesus. And not only was it abundant wine pointing to who Jesus is, the way he did it showed what the Messiah came to do. You could think about the new wine of Jesus' kingdom would now fulfill and replace the old wine of Judaism, which had been depleted. It was gone. Look at how Jesus does this miracle. Look again in verse 6. It says, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Jesus uses these jars that were dedicated to the use of ritual washing. Jesus transforms the jars from carriers of water for purification in the old way to carriers of abundant wine, a sign of this new kingdom that was coming. The water for purification is transformed into the new wine of blessing. What was ritualistic and legalistic can now be replaced with blessing and celebration. This was a sign of what was to come. Jesus' death would open the way to full blessing and joy, that's like the new wine, that could never have been achieved by the old washing and rituals that these jars, the water that they would have contained. The old way was gone. The new had come with Jesus. And it was better than anything that had come before. And he does that for us when we come to him. There's that verse in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When we go to Jesus, he transforms the old and he makes us new. And in our lives, we need to allow him to transform us. As we come to him in faith, he will make us new But perhaps in our lives there are dead rituals, dead habits that need to be transformed so that blessing would flow. Do you hold on to habits or rituals or traditions that only serve to satisfy your conscience? I know I do. Well, we need to allow the Lord to transform these things or replace them so that his blessings would flow. We need to bring them to Jesus and ask him to transform them or remove them so that the wine of his blessing would flow. Let me give you a brief example. Has prayer become more like a superstition for you? Maybe you pray and then you feel much better. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying and feeling better. But if you pray to get that sense that I'm sorted now, and if you don't pray, things are definitely going to go wrong, we're approaching prayer in the wrong way. We need to ask the Lord to transform then how we pray, so that instead of watery prayer that doesn't really mean anything or do anything, it will be rich new wine, full of flavor, full of life, and that prayer the Lord will use for his blessings to flow. So are there things that you're holding on to, rituals or traditions, parts of your life that don't serve any purpose apart from satisfying something within you? They don't bring life. Ask the Lord to transform those habits to bring blessing. Well, this sign shows us that Messiah had arrived. He was finally here, and it was Jesus. We don't always get told plainly in the Bible or in the Gospels about something that Jesus does by the Gospel writers. But in this case, John helps us to understand what was happening. Look at verse 11. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. John explains that this is the first of the signs that Jesus performed, through which he revealed his glory. One writer talks about the first part of the Gospel of John as the book of signs, because there are seven signs recorded by John, which point to something about Jesus. They're not miracles for miracles' sake, but they're signs pointing us to something, pointing us to something about Jesus. And this was the first one. And Jesus was revealing his glory through it. We already heard John in chapter 1 explain that he had seen the glory of the Word become flesh. We see that in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And now we are getting to see it too. We get to see his glory. The disciples began to see this glory being revealed in this first sign. The greater things that Nathanael was promised were beginning to be seen. And now we are seeing it too. Not firsthand, like the disciples who were right there with him, but we're hearing from eyewitness accounts all about Jesus, about this sign that Jesus did at this wedding. So when you see the glory of Jesus revealed, you need to believe. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing the glory of Jesus being revealed. And in this sign, we come to realize that the Messiah arrived when Jesus came on the scene. He is the one. Jesus had the power to do this miracle. And the significance of it pointed to the fact that he is Messiah. And when the disciples saw it, saw his glory being revealed, how did they respond? They believed in him. That's not always the response. We'll see through the Gospel of John, as we make our way through, Jesus' glory being revealed. But not everyone believes. When you see it, you need to believe it. Don't ignore the signs. When you see Jesus' glory being revealed, believe in him. Because ignoring signs can be dangerous. We are just back from a lovely holiday in Achill in County Mayo. When we were there, we had lots of nice walks and drives around the mountains and the cliffs that were by the sea. And as we walked and drove, we needed to be careful and pay attention to the signs. We saw signs like this. It meant we were near cliff edges and we needed to be careful. And ignoring the signs would be dangerous. Not caring where we walked, walking ahead, ignoring the warnings, would have been incredibly dangerous. We've been told now not to ignore signs like fever and coughing and shortness of breath and loss of taste and smell. Ignoring those signs could be dangerous. When we see the signs about Jesus, we must not ignore them. He is the one who has come to make everything new. Not just new wine, but to restore the earth and make it exactly as it should be. A place of absolute beauty and wonder and perfection. And we can live there too, if we don't ignore these signs, but believe in him and come to him. And we can look forward to not just the best tasting wine, but the best place to live and life to have for all eternity. We must believe the signs and believe in him, because he's the king of everything. Lastly, we can trust in a Messiah who looks after the embarrassing details. This miracle displays Jesus' power, and it points to an incredible truth that God's chosen king had now arrived. The long wait for the king was over. Jesus was here. The Messiah had come, and the new kingdom that God had promised was coming. This abundant wine was a sign of that. And this sign of turning water into wine was also an answer to a practical, an embarrassing problem. The wine had run out. It was gone. There was none left. This would have been incredibly embarrassing. And like I mentioned, there could have been even been legal repercussions. But Jesus graciously and miraculously provided wine, saving the bridegroom's blushes. He was the one who went to the computer in that hotel, and he didn't just produce makeshift song sheets. He produced stunning order of services that were even more beautiful than before. He stepped in and he looked after the details that would have caused shame and embarrassment for the bridegroom. And he provided the best of the best. As we respond in faith to the sign of who Jesus really is, we come to a God who we know who has stepped in to take away our shame and our embarrassment and our sin because of what he's done on the cross. And not only that, that the big details of our lives can be restored and dealt with because of Jesus. The tiny, embarrassing, practical details of our lives are in his control as well. Just like the bridegroom at this wedding may have panicked, he didn't know what to do. The wine was gone. But bringing the situation to Jesus, Jesus graciously provided. We can bring the embarrassing, the practical, the everyday details of our lives and our mistakes to him, knowing that he cares and that he has power to work in every situation. Are there details in your life that you don't want to bother Jesus with? Are they too petty, too embarrassing, too silly? Well, there's no such thing. because Jesus cares deeply about all aspects of your life. And he's powerful to work in every situation. When we come to him in faith, he deals with the enormous problem of our sin. But day to day, as we come to him, he also helps and is with us in the tiny, silly details of our lives. I hurt my throat this week. It's a little bit embarrassing. It's a bit silly. I was eating pizza and I swallowed a very sharp bit of crust. It was too hot when I bit and my reaction was to swallow, and I should have just spat it back out. But it damaged the inside of my throat. It must have scratched the back, and it was quite sore for the next few days. It was really annoying. But I talked to the Lord about it. I asked that it might heal okay. Because small, silly, or even embarrassing details like that are important to him. He loves us so much that the small details of our lives matter. He cares about these kinds of details, so we should bring them to him. Bring them before him, talk to him about them. And he calls us to respond in faith. We might not get the results that we were expecting. I'm sure Mary, when she came to Jesus, wasn't expecting nearly 700 litres of wine to miraculously appear. But we need to bring all these details of our lives to him, trusting in his power to work, because he is Messiah. Trusting in his care for us, because we see the kind of Messiah that he is. And we can leave those details with him, knowing that he's working for our good and for his glory. Just like we saw here, he had his eyes set on his Father's work, yet provided in this way, at this wedding, in a miraculous and powerful way. Let's talk to him and ask for his help now in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can speak to you and bring all sorts of things to you in our lives. We thank you for this incredible sign that we're told about from John's Gospel, what Jesus did at this wedding in Cana. Thank you that there are signs for us to read about, to see. And Lord, as we see these signs revealing your Son's glory, I pray that we would respond in faith to who he is. Help us, Lord, to bring those details of our lives to you. Every part of us would be laid before you. Take those parts, Lord, that are wrong and obsolete, maybe embarrassing, and transform them to be used for your glory. That, Lord, you would use us as vessels, that your new wine and blessing would flow through us to those around us. Lord, thank you for these words in John's Gospel. Help us to respond this week in faith to your Son Jesus, the Messiah. Thank you that he came, and we pray in his precious name. Amen.